Hi, everyone. Welcome to They Had Fun. I'm Rachel, and I'm back with another amazing story about New York City. But before I introduce my guest, I wanted to ask a favor of you, the listener. Do you have any comments? Do you have any thoughts? Do you have any suggestions on guests? I would just love to know all of these things. So please reach out to me on Instagram and let me know what you're thinking. And even if you don't have any thoughts, I'd love to hear your New York stories. So please send those along too. That would be great. Okay, enough of the housekeeping. On to my fabulous guest. He is a DJ, an author, a contributor to The Onion, and he does stand-up comedy, which he is excellent at. I've seen it. Please welcome to the show, Ben X. Kim.
Yay.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
I'm ready to hear all about your good times and your fun stories.
Yeah, definitely. I'm ready to tell, ready to spill the tea.
Ooh, as the young kids say.
As the young drag queen kids say. Exactly.
Well, okay, so we know it was one of your intros and one of your many things that you do. You've been doing a lot of stand-up comedy recently. Have you done any shows or any open mics or anything that have gone well, or what's been going on in your world?
Yeah, I have two monthly shows that I do with other people. And so one of them was last week and it did go well. Yeah, and then I have one coming up this Friday, which is even cooler because it's part of the Asian Comedy Festival. So I'll be performing with a lot of other Asian American comedians who are all very good, dare I say, better than me. Yeah, it's just a great showcase for all of them because you know how it is. Well, maybe you don't, but in the normal comedy scene, to have even one Asian American comic is kind of seen as, okay, this is the diversity like that we're going to have. Have two Asian American comedians on, and it's like, okay, now this is an Asian show because like, why would we have so many? Like, it's just, now it's a thing. It's a whole thing. So here for the Asian Comedy Fest, the thing is all Asian American comics and we can just be ourselves and you can see how different we all are and it's going to be fun.
That's amazing. I love that. Is this a show you guys are doing? Is this a one-off show or is this like once a month or?
This is the third year that this festival has taken place and it's only once a year, but they started pre-pandemic and then they had a smaller show during the pandemic. And now technically, I guess it is still during the pandemic, but it's a little, you know, post-ish, post the hump.
Where are we?
Yeah, sure. I don't know. Post one hump. I don't know. It's whatever. It's getting warmer. People are obviously sick of wearing masks and being cooped up. So hopefully people will come out and safely enjoy the comedy and not like, you know, spray particles everywhere when they laugh. But, you know, it will be a good time. It'll be a good time.
Fingers crossed on that. I think that's amazing that someone put together this show. You know, it's kind of similar to, you know, I don't completely understand what that's like, but it's similar to going up to like all female shows.
Exactly.
Shows or
exactly.
Something. It creates a certain aura in the room. There's a little more comfortability. Everyone's all mm-hmm. on the same page. So I would imagine something like that might be similar. And like,
absolutely.
It has to feel fucking amazing to do that show and just be surrounded by all of your peers and just
yeah.
like, know you're killing it.
Totally.
And where is that show?
That will be at Stand Up New York. By the time this comes out, it will already have happened, but we're living in the present. I'm in the moment here. I'm with you, Rachel. So as far as I'm concerned, it's happening in the future.
Yes. Okay. That's a very good point. But we can still talk about it and we can let everyone know about all of the amazing comedians that will be there.
Yeah. We can be normal human beings and not talk about, well, when will this come out? Oh, it already happened. Sorry, everyone. But yeah,
we all know the magic that's happening exactly. behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Well, that's amazing. I think that's really exciting. And I think it's so awesome that you're doing stand-up comedy. How did you get started in that?
It was something I had always been somewhat interested in, but then I started getting to, you know, the UCB school of like doing improv classes and sketch classes. And kind of from there, I was made more aware of people who are in my classes doing stand-up. And I was like, oh, okay, this actually doesn't seem like such an abstract thing that I only hear about people doing. Like I know people who do it. So just kind of asking them, how do you do it? Where do you go? What's the whole process? And for me, I've got the performing energy of a writer. So it helps to be on stage as much as possible to get used to that feeling.
Well, I think it's great that you're doing that. Like you saying, like you kind of have like a writer's brain maybe, or like you feel like more of a writer, but perhaps push yourself to feel a little bit uncomfortable and get more comfortable in that position. And a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people stay in their comfort zone. So like, I think it's great that you're doing that.
Thank you. Yeah. It is very uncomfortable for me. Like I remember even as a kid, this is the first grade, mind you, I won't call them hot because we were all in first grade, but they were very attractive women. Well, they were girls. They were girls in my first grade class. I won't even call them women because that wouldn't be true, but they were so hell-bent on doing this production of Annie in their backyard, and they wanted me to be Daddy Warbucks. I thought they were cute. I thought this would be a good idea until it came to the actual day of performance. Now it's like, I can't do this. I cannot get up in front of people and be Daddy Warbucks. I totally chickened out. So that kind of set the whole tone for my life in terms of performance anxiety. I was always lights and curtain in middle school and high school productions. So yes, it is definitely pushing me.
Yeah, for sure. You know, not to make you feel awkward. I think that's very inspirational. I think a lot of people would have just, you know, sauntered off in the background and decided not to do it, but to like face your fears is actually quite exciting. And
thank you.
If for you to choose to do stand-up, perfect segue, you're doing it in the greatest city in the world and probably the best place in the world to start your stand-up comedy career. So we'll start with my first questions of the show, which is, when did you move to New York?
I first moved here for a summer in 2004. I was attending grad school in North Carolina, and this was in Bushwick where I lived with a friend. He had an apartment that had a spare room, so I moved in, and that was kind of my first, 3 months, I would say is kind of a more of an experience of living in New York than my usual like weekend hangs when I lived in Philly. I would come up and visit. And then after grad school, I moved here in 2005, where I basically have remained, not in the same exact place, but I have been in New York since 2005 full time.
Wow. And so that summer was enough to sort of give you a taste to get you to want to come back for sure.
Yeah, it definitely confirmed that I belonged here, damn it.
You deserved it.
Yes. Exactly.
What was it that you, what about it specifically do you think really drew you in? I mean, outside of all of New York's amazing qualities, what for you was kind of the big draw?
I mean, I have a lot of friends at that point, even more, who were involved in various artistic endeavors, whether it was DJing or music. And so they would be having their shows and going to other shows that were very fun, very exciting. You know, you just felt like you were meeting completely new people every time you went out, which was in stark contrast to my grad school experience where I was, okay, so business school, for those who don't know, is notorious for having really terrible gender ratios. Like,
I didn't know that.
Usually it's like typical to have like 70% men, 30% women. I think the one I went to was maybe 60-40, but this is all to say, dating was a real issue. And so, I have to confess that New York also had the draw of like, there were a million women who seemed very cool and very like attractive. And that was also like a big part of it.
The truth comes out.
Yeah. Hey, I'm only
like
human.
I completely understand. I feel like sometimes the dating scene almost intimidates people or keeps them away, but it's nice to know. It's like, refreshing to hear someone who's like, I came here because I wanted to hook up.
It was like a desert in North Carolina. And then here was like splash waterfalls or something, just a fire hydrant being turned on. I don't know.
A lot of on the nose imaging there.
Yes. Yes.
So you moved here in 2005.
Yep.
You finished grad school and, you moved here because it's amazing. And also because all of the women,
all the women, all the women.
And artistic endeavors, the opportunity to do different things. I think that's a common theme that I hear from people, you know, whatever your niche is, whether it's business school or whether it's the arts or performance or something, 99% of the time, New York City is the best place in the world for you to be doing that thing.
Yeah. And you can find fellow peers who are also doing similar things, but of course it can bite you in the ass because you will hear about something very cool, very niche. And you're like, I'm going to check this out. And you walk up and there's already like 2 hours worth of line in front of you. And you're like, oh, I guess I was the 1000th person to hear about this and decide I'm going to be interested enough to stand in line for this thing. So it can be good and bad, but mostly good. It's mostly good.
Mostly good. But yes, we sometimes have a line problem here.
I can't agree with you on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So enjoying all of your time here, making lots of friends, having been here now for, 17 years.
Yeah.
We come to a very important question of the show. One might say the most important, but no pressure. Mm-hmm. What is your most fun New York story?
Okay. This is one of those nights where you and I would probably go to because, again, DJing was one of the things that brought me here. There's this message board that I was a part of where I met many people from around the world, some of whom also moved to New York at the same time. And it was just a great collection of people who either were DJs or were really into hip hop and dance music. And, you know, from that, you just got to know other DJs and you would find out about cool parties they would have. So this particular one, I believe it was Cosmo Baker who was a DJ. And he, of course, was a big part of the Rub Party that was at Southpaw and Park Slope back in the day. It was like so much fun. And this particular party that he was DJing was in this weird parking garage. I think it was like no longer being used as a parking garage, but it was in that space.
What neighborhood?
I think this was Crown Heights. It was like off of Atlantic, really far down, I would say, you know, east of Prospect Heights, certainly. Place I'd never been to before. It was
the start of every good story.
Exactly. Never hung out in the neighborhood.
Don't know where I was. Yeah. No, for real. I'm serious.
No, definitely. I miss those days where you're just like, okay, I know this party's supposed to be amazing, but I have never seen this address in my life. And I've got to like figure out how to get there and what trains to take or whatever. So
off to a good start.
Yeah. So we ended up making our way there. We came with a whole bunch of people, a crew, and I think we walked over on Atlantic. It was like a really nice night. It's the summer. And the party itself was really great. It was a very cool setup. You know, you had to like kind of walk up the part of the parking garage that would normally be like, you know, driven. You drive up to your parking spot.
Wow. That's interesting. So it's inside of a multi-level parking garage.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't all the way on top, but it was like at least a couple of stories up.
Awesome.
It was really awesome. So that was great. You know, saw a whole bunch of our friends, some of whom had been to another wedding and had come here afterwards because, of course, why not? You know,
another wedding.
They were at a wedding in Brooklyn, but they still. We were keeping in touch with them. You know, they want to know if the party was still going and if it was still good. Blah blah. So we were like, yes, it's still happening. Come on by. So that was awesome. Now, after we decided to go and the party was still going, one person and I, this guy Ryan, friend of mine, we, you know, kind of lived in the same basic neighborhood. Like he lived a little further down in Carroll Gardens. I lived in Park Slope at the time. We already knew each other. We decided to just walk home from this parking garage. So we were walking down Atlantic. And while we had never been in that neighborhood. Yeah.
What time of night-ish are we talking here?
It had to be, I'd say, between 12 and 2 a.m.
Okay.
At some point. Yeah. Like I said, we didn't really know the neighborhood, but we knew Atlantic and we figured, well, you know, walking down Atlantic is probably fine. We passed by this bar that seemed to be really bumping, like great music coming out. And we looked up and the name of this spot was The Social Butterfly. And we were so tickled by this name and just the music seemed good. And we were like, you know, of course we had a couple and we were like, why don't we just walk in and see what it's all about? you know?
See what's happening at the social butterfly.
Yeah, we're feeling good. So we ducked in and saw what was going on. And it was basically like, I would say, catering to 99 to 100% like African-American clientele. It was not like a needle scratching moment because nobody made us feel uncomfortable, but we were just like, huh, this is not a place that we really go to, but we're feeling like welcome. The people behind the bar were very welcoming. So we sat down and had a drink. Again, we thought that the music was good. So we kind of like went up to the dance floor to check out what was going on. And right away, this pair of women kind of like approach us in a, I can only describe the nicest, most aggressive way possible. Like it was not creepy. It was not uncomfortable. But this one particular woman approached me and was like, we're dancing. Let's go dance. And I was like, oh, okay.
Your 2005 you dream coming true.
This is the actually not 2005. This is after 2005. I can't remember what year, but it was.
No, I'm saying the you who was moving here, who wanted to meet all of the ladies. Yes. Your dream's coming true. You're in New York and they're coming for you.
Exactly.
Okay. So she says, we're dancing.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm, you know, when in Rome, let's do it. So this woman plucks me up off, you know, wherever Ryan, and takes me onto the dance floor, is basically throwing me around like a rag doll. Like she is leading. She is definitely leading the dance, and not in a ungraceful way, but she is definitely like the, you know, initiator of moves, shall we say.
Sure.
So I was just like, wow, this is also new. And we got to talking and she asked me how old I was. I said whatever age I was at the time. And she was like, my son is your age. And I was like, oh, okay. We're dealing with a mom that's out for the night. Like she doesn't give a fuck. She just wants to get down. And she was just like, I think she was asking for my number. And I was like, I don't know. Let's just dance. But it was very fun and totally respectful. And she was just like, vivacious is like the only word I can think of. You know, she was there having a great time. Ryan was talking to, I guess it was her friend or something. And it was just one of those, like, again, those experiences of like being in New York and meeting complete strangers and having such a great time, despite not knowing them already. Like I can be an introvert for sure, but something about like certain moments in New York, I'm totally open to like the universe and like people, you know, making themselves part of my life, even for that night or that hour, or whatever. And it was really something special. Like, you know, Brian and I would text each other every year, just kind of be like, social butterfly. I passed by the social butterfly. And we'd always just very fondly kind of have, you know, this kind of text exchange about it.
We'll always have the social butterfly. I love that. So you think this lady, you know, granted there might've been an age gap there and more power to everyone. She definitely was interested in you.
I would say so. Like, I don't want to blow, you know, toot my own horn, but I think if I had been more like, let's do this. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what could have happened?
Who knows where you could be these days? Yeah. I just love the idea of exactly what you're saying. It's that possibility always in New York, you know, and
yeah,
you know, that's why we're here is I love the idea of walking down the street. We're going to head home. And then it's, well, what's this place? Well, what can happen in here? Who are we going to meet in here? What can I? And the next thing you know, you're waking up in a different neighborhood at 7 a.m. or anything can happen.
Absolutely.
And it's a perfect story for this. And I can just feel totally that idea of how much fun that was in that moment. And to like, and anything could happen in that, that woman's just like, I'm leading the way. Let's go, little guy. Like we're going to do this.
Yeah. And like, it was, maybe she was like in a way, kind of a metaphor for the bar or club itself. Like we never felt unwelcome. We also were not trying to take over the place. It was just me and Ryan. So we weren't like, oh, we're here to like, you know, serve us, like, you know, show us a good time. Like we were respectful and we were just like more curious than anything. And yet we still got pulled into like having such a great time with these people. And it was just all because of the name being so fun and funny to us. We were like, we have to go in. There's a butterfly in their logo, and yet there's like really good music, really loud music being played. Let's check it out.
For sure. I think a lot of people get a wrong idea of New York, that I think a lot of people think if you show up to the place you're not expected to be, they won't want you. But I've always found the opposite to be true. And, you know, obviously I'm like a young little white girl and maybe I get a little preferential treatment, but I feel like sometimes you think like this place isn't for me. And I've always found that people are so welcoming. Like if they're, you know, whether it's like an old school Irish bar or something, or like you're saying, like a place that's like a dance hall place, like New York really does kind of like welcome everyone to come in and just be like, all right, come have a drink, have a good time. And like, we're all going
to
have fun.
You just have to have the right vibe. You can't be like,
you can't be an asshole.
You can't be an asshole. You can't be like laughing at everything. You really have to be
that's terrible.
You know, like some people might do that, but you have to just be like, I'm a guest here. I'm going to just take things in and observe how people are doing their thing. And, you know, at the very least, everyone loves to drink. So we can at least have a drink and like sit down and kind of see what's going on. And then we got to actually be part of like the mix. But yeah, I think you're right. People do think like it might be cliquey or like this is a place you don't go. I mean, I'm thinking about that place that you guys would go to all the time. Was it Juniors? And when I first walked in, I was like, how the fuck did Rachel ever find this place? This seems like, like the lighting is so dismal, and yet it was still a good time.
Well, that is the perfect place where, so I always walk by that bar and I was like, I want to go in there. They just look like they're having fun. Yeah. And I would keep walking by and keep walking by. And I talked to someone about it and they were like, you can't go in there. They don't want you there. And I was like,
that's almost really like a challenge. That's probably like, oh, they'll let me in.
So I was like, I really want to go in there and just see what's going on. So I think the first time I finally convinced one of my friends to go with me and I was like, let's just go in for one drink, see what the vibe is. I think we stayed the entire night there till 4 a.m. And they had a jukebox and they just kept letting us play anything we want. And I remember that night, the guy who was bartending, I was like, oh, I've always wanted to come here or whatever, but I wasn't sure if that would be okay. And they were like, why does everyone think that? They were like, we love having people come in, like tell your friends, like come in. A real eye opener. People usually think like, you know, they don't want you, but I think a lot of times people just want everyone to have fun. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right. So what we need to find out is if the Social Butterfly is still open.
It just closed, apparently. I saw on Eater New York.
The old New York tale.
Yeah. Well, I think this is very much part of COVID, unfortunately. So, you know, Eater has now a pretty large listing of restaurants and bars that close. And yeah, recently I saw that they were one of those casualties. So of course I had to text Ryan and be like, dude, Social Butterfly is closing. And he just said, they'll never take away our hazy memories. You know, and I looked on their Facebook, they have a Facebook page, which is even more charming. Like when at this day and age, an establishment still has like a Facebook presence they to keep up. They're having some kind of outdoor location for a party in May for their like, you know, patrons and like family. So I'm not saying I will go, but I love that they are still like in touch with their community and kind of saying like, hey, we're going to keep the party going wherever, you know, thanks for all the years, blah, blah. And it's very, very heartwarming for sure.
I think maybe you should go. Maybe if you're walking by.
Maybe Ryan and I can give our proper goodbyes. Yeah. A send-off of sorts.
That's nice that they're doing that, though. I love that. I love that they still have something. But in the classic New York adage, they have now the New York tale of, like, they closed. And sometimes, you know, it's hard, but, like, we have to be able to withstand the good and the bad sometimes, and that is what New York gives us, so we have to take it.
Yeah, and, like, with anything, whether it's relationships or bands, like sometimes it's better that they go out on top as opposed to becoming like a very sad shell of their former self. And you're just like, oh my God, yes, it has the same name, but it's nothing like it used to be. Like, you know, things like that can also happen too.
Right. We don't want that to happen.
We don't.
I think the most important thing from your story is for anyone moving here, or even if you're still here, just pop in.
Pop in.
If you see something, do it.
Yes.
You'll never get the chance again. You never know what could happen.
to paraphrase the MCA, if you see something, go in and do it. Just check it out. Respectfully. Yeah.
Well, I love that story. I just think that is the perfect embodiment of just having fun in New York. I fully support this story. Two thumbs up.
Thank you.
And I love that you guys went in. My last question for you now is, knowing that you are a number one at having a good time in New York, what is your favorite thing about living here?
Yeah, I guess part of it is the people you'll meet. Obviously, it's a destination kind of city, so there will always be people moving here. But they aren't necessarily always just young, fresh-faced people coming from Indiana, you know, like me. They could also be older. They could be from other countries. They could, you know, have all sorts of interesting backstories. Just those chance meetings where you might somehow connect with them and learn more about their lives. That is one of the things I love most about New York. Yeah, chance encounters that might lead to more, but not necessarily. They don't have to.
I think that's such an amazing answer and so heartfelt. And it kind of makes me tear up because I feel the same way. And, you know, I love New York so much. I think we can all tell, but it is one of those things that it is so special to hear, you know, you don't just go out everywhere in the world or in the States and just have chance encounters and meet anyone from anywhere, like you're saying, and there's every possibility. And I think the people of this city make it so amazing.
Absolutely. It's certainly not the mayor. I'll tell you that much. The mayors of the city have traditionally, it seems like ever since I've lived here, been so terrible and so not what the city is about.
Are you even doing a New York podcast if you're not complaining about the mayor at the end?
Right? Exactly.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing
and,
that.
And honestly, it doesn't even matter what era I'm talking about. I feel like there's always going to be something that is something that can unite a lot of New Yorkers, certainly how awful your mayor is at the time.
Yes, I think you're right. There's one thing we love to do. It's complain.
Absolutely.
Well, outside of that, it sounds like you definitely know how to have a great time in New York. You know how to have fun. Please move onward and tell all of the people how they can do everything you're doing to have as much fun as possible. Most of all, thanks, New York. They had fun.
Yay.